This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 355 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and joining me from Melbourne once again from CreativePhotoWorkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. Welcome back.
Thanks, mate.
It's been a rough fortnight, hasn't it?
It's been a rough fortnight. This is how bad it's been. I was looking forward to coming to the podcast for some normalcy.
Right. Okay.
For something normal in life, some normal conversations. Something.
Right.
So I've got some family health issues at the moment. My dad's been in hospital for the last, I don't know, 12 days or something, and there's no end date of him coming out. Oh. And my poor dear old mum's got dementia and Parkinson's and no one to care for her. So she's been shunted around from my sister's house to my house, and I've been doing an awful lot of caring the last 2 weeks.
Right.
And you can imagine it's fairly draining, and the poor old dear is having a hard time being shunted around and getting more confused and exacerbating things. So I was supposed to be in Brisbane this week right now, in fact, doing workshops and one-on-ones, but I had to cancel all that care for her. So it's been a tough couple, and it's still going. It's ongoing. Now, as you know, with families, there are always heaps of fun. So my brother's just flown in from England and causing even more problems. So it's joyful.
He's obviously joyful. Not a Shutters Inc. listener.
Well, put this way, he's not even a friend on Facebook, so let's put it
right.
So it's been a tricky couple of weeks trying to juggle all the stuff I'm trying to organise, as well as now look after mum. And so obviously last week the podcast I couldn't get on.
Yeah,
but I hear Dave Marlin came on. Was that right?
He did.
No, he says very lovely of him. I was just thinking this afternoon.
Yeah, did that hurt?
I'm going to be away. Only a bit. I'm going to be away in Myanmar for a couple of weeks or so. Maybe we can see about getting Craig Witchin.
Absolutely,
on
yeah. No, I had been thinking about the fact that I had said to Craig it'd be great to have him back at some point when you're not around. So
yeah.
Now that's later in November.
I'm sort of 3 weeks tomorrow, sort of thing. So right. Probably got two. Hopefully, depends on how the family goes.
Yeah,
two more podcasts before we go. Then probably 3 weeks without me. So
right,
it's good to go that way. But yes, that's all excitement and looking forward to that. And yeah, cool. I had the joys of doing the online visa application and the not being a part on their visa online visa form for nationality that you are.
Oh,
and country of issue of your passport.
Right.
It's kind of, but I took some guesses and I got approved anyway. So because I'm English. I travel on a United Kingdom passport.
Right.
So it says country of origin. You know, you'd think for passport, you'd think you'd put United Kingdom. But there's no United Kingdom to choose from. There's no Britain. There's no England. So you've got United Kingdom national, United Kingdom citizen, United Kingdom national overseas, United Kingdom citizen overseas, United Kingdom some other everything but just who
well you would be classed as United Kingdom citizen overseas.
Yeah, but the country where passport is issued is not United Kingdom citizen overseas. That's not the country. Not the country that issued the passports. The country that issued the passport is United Kingdom. So that was a bit of just fun of trying to do stuff with technology and no one to talk to, no one to point out the stupidity of, and fun. But I must admit, the passport, the visa was approved. It said within 2 to 3 days, 6 hours, bang, straight back.
Nice.
All day. That was efficiency.
Yeah.
And this week I've been researching stuff for next year's East Africa trip, just because I'm looking at putting on a 4-day extension tour at the end of it to Zanzibar.
Wow.
Do some walking tours, street photography through the old town, which is sort of it's a cross between Indian and Arab and African heritage, all sort of meets together as a trading point.
Right.
And so it's a culturally a very interesting place to shoot, and architecturally really cool and interesting. So putting on a little, and then during my research, I found a guy who runs portrait workshops in Zanzibar.
Right.
In the old town of Zanzibar, and he gets like old people. It goes in like with the old, really old houses, beautiful light, and gets old people in the traditional costumes, and runs portrait workshops with these people. So nice. I thought that'd be kind of a cool thing to include as part of our extension tour.
Yeah.
You know? So on the call.
Excellent.
And then also this week, whilst I was out shopping with my dear old mum, I bought a book called Around the World in 500 Festivals.
Right.
And my uncle, I think his name's Steve Davey. And it's just all these different cultural festivals around the world. And, what's interesting and what months things are doing. Because I love going to festivals when you travel. Going, having a reason to go somewhere is kind of cool. And, sure. And so they've even got stuff like when it comes to Australia, they've got the beer can challenge or something.
Is that in the Northern Territory?
It must be. They've got but they've got things like Moomba, which is a Melbourne festival. Yep. They've got Melbourne Cup. They've got Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras, which Dan is one. But one that did interest me, and I'm looking at possibly doing something with next year, is at the end of June, first weekend in July, every second year, in far north Queensland, out in the bush, there's a ceremonial tribal dance competition for Aboriginal dancers.
Wow.
And these 20 different tribes come in and do this weekend of competition dancing.
Wow.
Yeah, in a couple of hours inland from Cooktown, so right out in the bush. It's surrounded by mountains with hills with Aboriginal rock paintings and stuff and amazing sort of stuff.
Is it like somewhere out near Normanton or somewhere?
It's a place called Laura.
Okay.
Yeah, which I've never heard of, being that the entire population of the whole surrounding area, I think, is less than 100.
Yeah, right.
So it's not a big place. But yeah, I thought that'd be a really cool festival to go in and photograph.
Photographically, that would be really interesting. Yeah.
Very cool. So me and Seng over in Western Australia, Seng Ma, who I do some stuff, looking at maybe doing an event with him where we go up there and take a group in and photograph that. So it's still in discussion phase with the organisers to see if it's viable. And you have logistical issues like there's no accommodation.
Yep.
Which is, yeah.
You've got to be tenting it.
Group. Yeah, which is not easy to do if you're taking a group in, because then you've got to try and coordinate the camping arrangements for a group and tents and so on and so forth. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's logistically a little bit tricky, but it could be something really interesting to do.
For sure.
I think, as I said, photographically, I think it'd be amazing to see.
Yeah.
I think it's like a three-day dance festival, which would be very cool. They said they're expecting over 700 dancers, which would be remarkable. And, of course, all the family and everything else comes together. So,
yeah.
It's rather good. And I saw, this is for Australian listeners, Foxtel, if anyone's got Foxtel, they've just started showing the new season of Tales by Light.
Oh, nice.
Season 2. I think they've done 2 episodes so far. I think from memory it's on Sunday nights on National Geo Channel. So if you're anywhere else in the world and you've got a chance of seeing it, they're great. They're really well filmed, great photographic docos, cultural ones. The two that they've done so far this season, episode 1 was Africa, which was really cool. And episode 2 was a lot of underwater stuff, which was great. This guy goes and one of the things he was doing was photographing anacondas underwater.
Wow.
Which is in Brazil, Bolivia, Botswana, something started with B. Britannia. No, I can't remember. It started with B. South American B, I'll give it that much. I'm pretty sure it was Bolivia.
Not Brazil. Bolivia?
I'm thinking Bolivia.
Okay.
But, if you're Bolivia that, you're Bolivia anything, right?
You're Bolivia anything. Yeah.
But the same guy who filmed the first series is filming this series, so there's a good consistency to the narrative and the way it's filmed, and really cool. So
nice.
So that's kind of the little bits of photographic. I've done no photography whatsoever, so I've been cancelling stuff left, right, and centre.
Yeah, right.
And not be able to do anything, but actually managed to get a little bit of work in whilst Mum falls asleep on the couch.
Right. Fair enough. All right, well, look, before we go any further, let's go to David Marlin's book review. Take it away, David.
Tonight, as we gather by the fireside, I'm going to talk about A Tale of Two Histories. A little while ago, I reviewed Naomi Rosenblum's A World History of Photography. But since then, two rather different books on the history of photography have come my way. If we use Naomi Rosenblum as the benchmark, one's heavier and the other, well, I wouldn't say it's lighter, but it takes a different and perhaps more approachable style. And how I came by this one might be another method for dropping the hint to your non-photographer relatives at gift time. The first book is Photography, A Concise History by Ian Jeffrey, Ian who presented the photo book. This book is a compact and densely written 240-page small format paperback. It's got 136 illustrations, 8 in colour. The photographs tend not to be those in either the photo book or in Rosenbaum. So visually it's quite different, but it's got an awful lot of text between the photos. It's heavy going, and it's more of a treatise or a scholarly work than a book for interest value. Clearly it's been written for the serious students of the art. That doesn't mean it's uninteresting, it's just that it's the nature of the book. The back blurb of the book sums it up, I think. Here is a concise critical history of photography that actually explores the essence of photography, both in itself and in relation to other visual art forms, explaining by what criteria we can judge one photograph to be better than another, and analysing what makes photographic recording of images so special. Very British. The book was first printed in 1981 and then was reprinted in 2010. The second book is Photography, A Visual History, and it's by Tom Ang. This is a complete contrast. It's a large format hardback. It's crammed with photographs interspersed with some text. The photographs are produced in a wide range of sizes and is visually appealing. And also appealing is a selection of images from well-known photographers that features the usual ones, but as well as some lesser known ones by those people. Interspersed throughout the book are navigator panes that highlight aspects of main photographs, pointing out things that make the photo work. Now, whether you believe in Tom's assessment or not is not really important here. What's important is that it encourages you to look into the photograph and think about it. Each page generally has a number of panels, diagrams and photos, an eye-catching and engaging approach. Tom Hang's and DK's books are more commonly associated with teaching techniques, so this was quite a pleasant surprise. So now the tales. I was bored one evening and I was on the book depository website and searched using the word photography, and amongst a lot of books I spotted Ian Jeffrey's Concise History. It was on special, and I took the punt that was only a $15.80. It's published by Thames and Hudson. For the Tom Ang book, I was in Collins Booksellers in Ballarat, haunting as usual the photography arts section and with a member of my family. I was asked what I thought of the book and indicated, looks very interesting, it's got a refreshing view, and it later turned up as my Father's Day gift. So here's another hint. When you are in bookshops, and especially looking in the photography area, don't hesitate to have a family member near you, especially when it's near a birthday or Christmas or Mother's Day, Father's Day, or any other gift-giving occasion. Mercenary? Well, perhaps. But you're more likely to get something that you like and have a use for, and the family feels like it's contributing to your art. Photography, the definitive visual history, is part of a definitive visual history of a whole lot of things done by DK Books. And it is available from about $50 through to $100 in bookstores. It can be a little bit less here and there. Book Depository has it for $38. And Booktopia has it for $39. Happy hunting. Cheers.
Thanks, David. Two for the price of one. Excellent. All right. Moving on, what else have we got to cover?
I could ask, the bike? You may have resolved it last week.
I got the affirmative word from the workshop on my birthday. So that was good. So
which was like a 2 week
deal. That was Tuesday of last week.
Okay, so that means it's up and running now then.
So I said to them, he said to me, it'll be ready to close the business today. So I said, beauty, I'll be there at 8:30 tomorrow morning to pick it up. And picked the bike up on the Wednesday morning, and it is absolutely gorgeous. But we had all this conversation last week with David Marlin.
So how many weeks is it going to be before it's back in, do you reckon? Should we take a bet, everybody?
Yeah,
I reckon we should run a Shutter Zinc, what they call those things, a pool, no. Where you stab at a time, and it's like when people are going to have a baby. Yeah. It's like, Tuesday, 10 o'clock, 8 pounds three. I reckon we should do that with your bike. What's the date today? It's November the
3rd.
I'm going to say November 14, What time do you get home? About 5:30, 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock.
Okay, so half an hour from home. 5:30, he'll be about half an hour away from home. He'll start playing up. November 14th. Now, speaking of odd and weird predictions like that.
Yeah.
Because I heard one this week, which kind of blew me away. Today, this is a pre-recorded podcast, obviously, but today, the Chicago Cubs won their World Series of Baseball for the first time since 1908, 108 years, the longest-running drought in American sport.
Wow.
Has been broken today. And it's been a really weird year because in Australian rules football down here, the people who won this year's event, they'd been 66 years or 68 years or something That's without right. winning.
Yep.
So won the rugby up in New South Wales were like 60 years without winning. So it's been one of those weird years. But get this, I was reading about this guy who in like 1973 in his high school yearbook in America wrote, asked him about what's going to happen in the future. He said, Chicago Cubs to win the World Series 2016.
Wow.
That was back in like 1973.
Wow.
And there you are. That was pretty impressive. That you'd like to put $5 each way on that, wouldn't you, back in those days? Yeah. Accumulated interest. Yeah. They would have given you decent odds.
Yeah.
Quite astounding. So there's a lot of happy Chicago Cubs fans around the world at the moment right now, I imagine. It's hard to imagine he could go your entire life maybe following a team and never see them have their ultimate success. You know?
It could be three generations of the family never having seen this.
Why do you keep doing it? You know? Jump ship.
They've got to come up Trump's one day.
I don't say Trump. That's next week's election.
Actually, I had a crack at one of my fellow lynda.com authors because he posted something on Facebook today about the World Series championships, and I went, well, World Series, Jeff, tell me which other countries actually play.
Now, so a lot of ignorant people in this world make that comment, and they show themselves for the fools that they are.
Oh, okay. Why am I a fool?
Well, it's not anything to do with the world.
Well, they're calling it the World Series.
Yeah, because it used to be sponsored by the newspaper called the World Series. Or the World. It was the World, and so it was called the World Series. And
is that right?
The tradition of the game, it's always stayed the World Series. Not the World Series, but it's the World, the newspaper that ran it.
Wow. Series. I never knew that. Okay.
And a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't. So goes well, and lots of countries do play baseball. They just don't play in that competition, obviously.
No, that's right.
But yeah, so the whole thing. Now, I must admit, for many a year, I was of the same ilk as yourself.
Right.
Until I was slapped down by someone who showed me what an ignoramus I was. So, it's which is kind of weird that they keep there. It's like, imagine if you have these days, if one of the stadium sponsors went out of business, like our big stadium here is Etihad Stadium.
Yeah. Right.
Now, if they went out of business, they're not going to keep calling it Etihad Stadium for the next 60 years.
No, they'd sell the naming rights on to another company.
In a flash.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to know how many Americans who follow baseball even know why it's called the World Series.
Well, they all know now. Just told them.
The few that listen to ours. The one and a half that listen to our podcast. Yeah. So have you been doing anything photographically lately, my friend?
Just processing images.
From what?
From the wedding.
Oh, still?
Yeah. Oh, well, they're mostly processed. I'm sort of at the stage of putting the album together now.
Nice.
So, but yeah, and it's just been just struggling to find time to actually sit down and do it, to be honest. It just seemed to have been so busy with other things that,
a nice block of time so you can get some flow going.
Yeah, exactly. And I saw that Jaden and Beck flew back into Australia today. Their honeymoon's over, so I need to get cracking. So. But interestingly, that you should mention the TV show that's just coming back,
yes.
Tales of Light, because I happened to be trawling around on the Apple Trailers website only a few days ago, which is where all of the new movie trailers get published. And there's a new doco that's launching in theatres and on iTunes on December the 9th, so about 4 weeks from now, give or take a day or two, called Harry Benson Shoot First.
Yeah.
And it's a doco all about Harry Benson, who was...
Who shot first?
Yeah, apparently.
And ask questions later?
He was very much a... like a photographer.
Was he Benson from that TV show?
What?
Benson, the TV show, is that him?
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
I don't know.
He was a butler? He was a butler back in like the 70s, 80s or 70s?
Probably not the same guy. This guy was a photographer who just, you know, captured a lot of amazing life stuff. I don't know if he shot for Life, the magazine, but yeah, it just looked like a very interesting documentary. Nice. So I will put the link in the show notes. That link is just to the movie trailer on Apple Trailers. Yeah.
Well, whilst we're talking TV shows and shows, there's also in my list of stuff, the world's next top photographer or whatever it's called. So Adorama TV are doing this reality TV show for next top photographer. And it's basically group of photographers get set these challenges, and they've got to run off and shoot this challenge and then get judged and stuff. It's a 5-part series or something. Part one is available right now on that link that's on there.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it. But there was a similar sort of thing here a few years ago on the ABC TV.
That's right.
Where a guy tried to get, he'd set people, but there's different people every week. You get three people in, they set a certain photographic challenge and often give them gear they'd never used before to take photos, which is, you know, not necessarily the best way of producing good work. I've never been able to find that one online anywhere to point people to. So if anyone knows,
It was on ABC iView at the time that it aired, but the problem with iView is that the stuff only stays up for 3 or 4 weeks and then they take it down. So, and I do remember us linking to it at the time.
Yeah. So it had its moments of interest, but,
So this thing that Adorama are doing is free to view online.
Yeah, cool. Because Adorama have their own Adorama TV.
Yep,
and they have that. So I'm not sure how long each episode goes for or anything, but I only saw it this afternoon. I thought, well, I haven't had time to look at it, but I'll mention it anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Something that I came up with just this evening was I called it the ultimate software list, but this was on DIYphotography.net, and it's 148. Photo editing tools and apps for every possible need.
I think this is the penultimate editing the software list, because I'm sure there'll be another one coming up.
There's bound to be. But what I liked,
it's gonna make out even 150.
What I liked about it was that they broke it down into different categories. So there's a bunch of photo enhancers, some online editors, some free desktop editors, some paid desktop editors, etc., etc., etc. So
HDR photo editors.
Yep, bit of everything.
There's cross-platform image editors.
Yes,
there's photo filters.
There's GIMP in there.
Photo editing mobile apps. Yep. There's a lot of those. That's where the majority of them came from. Mobile apps. Raw processors. Well, there's a lot of those.
Yep.
I guess what 102. There's 16 of those. 104.
Dark table.
There you go, right up there, mate. it's almost like your hip. Yeah, almost. Photo viewers and managers. That could be a good one. Actually, the manager side of things could be.
Yeah, for sure.
Here's a good section. Other. Other's quite extreme, quite full, actually. There's a lot of those. 129 all the way through to 140. To 140, there's 19 of those.
Yeah. So they obviously just didn't fit into any of the other categories.
Image stackers.
But I just thought it was worth mentioning, like, yeah, the fact that someone's compiled this epic list of all this software. So if there's something you're looking to do with your images and you just haven't yet found the tool that does what you need to do, maybe check out this list and,
I liked it so much, I just bookmarked it.
Good on you.
Yeah, I like that. That's a gem. That's your one for the year, dude.
David Kembry posted this on Facebook today, a link to slrlounge.com, to a new device called the Loop Deck. And essentially, this is a physical hardware controller. I'm not sure. I'm assuming it's a USB connection to your computer. And essentially, all of the controls on this physical controller are designed to access all of the common functions in Lightroom. So the idea is that instead of, you know, playing with your mouse the whole time in Lightroom, you've actually got, you know, physical knobs and faders and sliders and Not sure I'd go there.
Just on that, well, I don't know, but just on that same similar but completely different kind of concept.
Yeah.
Did you happen, I didn't know what you talked about last week, did you happen to talk about the new Microsoft Surface last week at all?
We didn't.
The Surface Studio?
We didn't. Surface Studio, no.
Surface Studio, I'll send you a link through now.
It's a pretty amazing looking device.
Oh, my goodness. That is just remarkable. Yeah, and it's mind-blowingly exciting looking to me.
What have we got an Australian price?
No, $12,000. I don't know. it's not going to be cheap, but it's not aimed at everybody. It's aimed at graphic designers and high-end studio. And but as a tool, it looks astounding.
Yeah.
But did you see the little dial that you put on the screen?
Yes.
Did you see that? But that works on all, and that works on all the surfaces. So if you're like a Microsoft Surface 4, you can put that on your screen. And basically, if you're doing something with Photoshop and you're painting with a brush, well, that turn that dial will change the size of the brush as you move.
Yeah, and what's nice is that you can drop it anywhere on the screen. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, just plonk it so it's not in your way.
Yep.
Remarkable bit of technology.
Definitely.
And that's one sexy beast. It's a very sexy piece of kit.
Yep.
Really, really giving Apple a run for their money.
It's interesting because I was listening to This Week in Tech, as I do every, or not most weeks anyway. And they were saying, you know, it's almost like Apple has become Microsoft and Microsoft has become Apple. I can't remember what their rationale was for saying that Apple had become like Microsoft, but I thought it was an interesting concept. But certainly the design of this thing is very Apple-like in its design, and they were saying that all the advertising for it is very Apple-like in its execution and look. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't even have an office. I don't have anywhere to put a desktop, but I still want one. You know, it's going to look very stupid on my lap on the lounge watching TV with this thing strapped to me. But you know, either way, I could almost be tempted to set up an office just to have this thing. So
yeah for sure,
very, very cool. What's this thing that Tony White sent through?
Okay, so this is a story on F-Stoppers with a link to a YouTube video for a product called Gear Eye. And essentially, it's a photographer who got together with an electrical engineer, and they designed this thing that allows you to create small RFID stickers for all of your equipment. And you apply one of these stickers to every piece of kit that you've got. And then you have an app on your smartphone, which allows you, you know, it's essentially a database in your phone of all your pieces of gear. And
didn't we cover this about 10 episodes ago?
Maybe something like it, but I don't think it was this one.
Okay.
Cool. But basically, it you know, keeps a track of all of your pieces of gear and where they are in relationship to where you are. So if you go out on a shoot and, you know, you come to packing up all your gear and you suddenly go, hang on, where's my, you know, my 20mm wide-angle lens? I seem to have put it down somewhere and it's not in my bag. You can just launch the app and it will use the RFID tracking to say, you know, it's
over here.
Over there somewhere, 20 metres away. And
I remember the one we saw last time, whichever brand it was, that they were using some cinematographers as an example.
Right.
And they had this warehouse full of stuff that they were taking for the shoot. I mean, like hundreds of boxes of stuff.
Yeah, right.
And they're saying, yeah, good luck trying to keep track of all that manually, you know.
Yeah.
And, you want to find where a dolly for a certain tripod is, and you've got two semi-trailers of stuff to try and find it in. It will help you locate it. So it's really clever. I mean, if you are carrying a lot of gear around, or even worried about losing stuff, it's very. Imagine putting on every lens cap.
Yeah,
you know, well, you always lose those.
I don't mean to speak ill of your clients, but I could imagine this being useful for someone like you, who's taking lots of gear to a shoot that other people are going to use.
Yeah.
As a good way for you to just double check.
It's my job to speak ill of my clients, not your job to speak ill of
them. Look, it's not always intentional. You know, someone can accidentally put one of your lenses into their bag. They may not have intended to.
I've had lenses shipped back from around the world because so yeah, that's an absolute given. So it's a really handy thing to have all the way around. So
yeah,
I like it. So, I like.
Thank you, Tony.
I like it.
Great link.
Lovely. Did you see our mate Mike Holman
was in the press again this week? Award Hog Holman strikes again.
That's him. The world's best architecture photographer.
I know. Just killing it.
It was an international, I can't remember what it was called, some Italian thing. But yeah, he won world's best architectural photographer. Or something.
Yes, at the Siena International Photo Awards.
Oh, no. He had to fly himself to Italy. They put him up at a hotel. But it was a nice hotel.
A very swank hotel, mind you.
And I've got to say, go and look at the link of all these photographs, because some of these photographs are...
Yeah.
This exploding volcano photograph, the one that is, it's like a nuclear bomb going off. It is just astounding, you know?
Yeah.
For Mount Etna is blowing up. It is just mind-blowingly good. So some amazing images. And, yeah, congrats, Mike, for being up there with such esteemed company.
Absolutely. You
know? And well-deserved, because as I said on Facebook today, when I grow up, I want to be like him.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I'm actually going to go spend a week with him at the end of February next year.
Nice.
Just to ramp up my landscape skills.
Cool.
Well, actually, when I say ramp up, I mean get some. Yes. Figuring I'm doing more and more of this environmental stuff as I travel, I should maybe have the odd tricks or two up. how to take some photo of it, you know. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It'd be nice just to hang out for a week. And a mate of his owns a fishing shop, and I'm a mad fly fisherman. He's a fishing shop on a river, so I mean, I might not do as much photography as I think.
Right.
might get a little bit busy, but congrats, Mike. That's a huge honour, and
definitely.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. Mind you, can you stop pimping out that same damn photo of the rail of the train track? You've done it to death already, dude. Yeah. Tell you what, why don't you put the one of the girl with the red top in the bamboo forest up for once? No one's ever seen that one. Jealousy speaking.
So what's the symmetrymagazine.org link you've sent me?
I was flicking through my Dimensions of Particle Physics magazine the other day. As you do.
I'm a driver,
you know, and this guy's invented this camera for photographing galaxies using 48 Canon 400mm lenses.
Wow.
Snapped together, basically. Now, these suckers are $12,000 a piece.
What?
The lenses, it's a $12,000 lens times 48. But here's the thing, this guy's photographing areas of sky that's been photographed a billion times before and finding stuff no one's ever seen before.
Wow.
Which is pretty darn cool, yeah. Unfortunately, rather sadly, they don't show any of those photos in the article. They show the photograph of one. So he's got two of these arrays of these lenses stuck together. And they don't use any camera. They don't use any traditional cameras on the back. They're all linked to different little CCD cameras.
Oh, okay.
So they don't go through a traditional capture device. But he just read, and this was an interesting thing. He said, the key turned out to be Van Dokum's hobby as an amateur insect photographer. He had heard of new camera lenses developed by Canon that were coated with nanoparticles designed to prevent light scattering. And although they were intended for high contrast photography, say snapping a boat in a sunny bay, Van Dokum thought these lenses might be able to spot diffuse objects in the sky. They were skeptical. I'm sure Canon came out with some magical optical coating, but they took one out of the car park, gave it a shot, and bang, wow, seen stuff they'd never seen before.
Wow.
And so they've now linked all these things together and called it Dragonfly, and photographing this thing and capturing photos and seeing things that no one's ever seen before, and quite astounding.
So what's the idea of the parallel lenses in a massive grid array? What's that supposed to achieve?
Well, it doubles the every time you double its size, you double its aperture, its brightness, its light gathering capability.
Oh, okay.
So let's say you have four lenses, and you go to eight lenses, you're increasing it by a stop of sensitivity, effectively.
Right.
So if you go from 8 to 16 lenses, and so on and so forth, so it's enhancing the brightness. It's the same with the way a lot of major, huge astronomical telescopes these days are built are not one big mirror. but they're hundreds of little mirrors.
Right.
Yeah, all working in alignment together, and they keep, you know, they keep sort of, they add the light to each other and give you a much greater light capturing capacity than you would get otherwise.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so hence why they put so many of them together. It's not to be, oh, look, we can, it's not that they're photographing different parts of the sky, as an example.
No.
They're just getting increased brightness of the objects they're looking at by capturing it over multiple lenses at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah, so I thought it was kind of a cool and unusual way of using our gear that we hadn't seen anything like before.
Definitely.
Then I thought, wow, if I was, okay, now I'm going to be honest on this next thing. My first thought was, oh, this would be cool for movies. Not, this would be cool for photography. But these guys on Kickstarter have come up with a spontaneous pop-up display screen, a foldable 24-inch screen for editing on. So if you're traveling and you've just got like a little 12-inch laptop or something, or smaller, you can connect to this screen and you've got a 24-inch monitor to work with. And it collapses down into like, you know, a tiny little package, like a little raincoat or sort of thing, you know, and away you go.
So what's the display made of?
Well, it's got some little, like, I'm assuming some sort of Pico projector or something in the back.
Yeah, right.
So, but it folds down. And so, wow, what a cool, yeah. If you imagine, awesome. If you're traveling, you've got an editing tool. You've got a, something to surf the net with. You've got, you know, something to watch movies with. You've got all sorts of cool stuff you could use this for. And it takes up no weight, effectively, or very little weight, and very little space. And but to give you an idea, it's obviously taken hold because they were trying to get $33,000 goal. They've got 43 days to go, and they're at $193,000 so far.
Nice. So,
well and truly backed.
Wow. That's a great concept.
It is, isn't it? So just once again, what an interesting age we live in.
So it's almost like taking the computer monitor and merging it with a softbox.
Exactly. Yep. Very cool. So it said you can get on now, and it's going to be like $499 US when it's released, which is pretty exy, but you can get one on Kickstarter at the moment for $374 as a pledger, so you save a little bit of money. But I thought that was that could be something that's of interest to some people who are out there and about there. You never know.
What did Carl say?
I've got a little something here for our mate Carl.
Yeah,
this is going to make him happy.
Yeah,
Lens Rentals, who are a fabulous company for analysing stuff.
Right,
have declared the Nikon 105mm 1.4 that lens that, you know, he had a go at us for not. But maybe the sharpest 1.4 lens ever made.
Right.
I'll let you go read that, Carl. You'll love that, I'm sure. I just want to get that lens. It's due.
Okay.
Oh, don't forget. And lastly on my little list, because we talked about the GoPro Karma a few weeks ago.
Yes. And then the DJI Mavic.
Yeah, I found a review, and it starts off, the guy talking about the review, because it's not even his review, he goes, ouch, reviews don't get much worse than starting with, the GoPro Karma is unquestionably, inarguably, unarguably, without a doubt, the worst drone I've ever flown.
Ooh.
And it went downhill from there.
Oi, oi, oi.
So that's a thing on DIYphotography.net.
Wow.
This guy's, it doesn't seem like he's a fan.
No.
Some say, yeah. So yeah, that's a little bit of interesting reading there. But a guy's probably got some sort of axe to grind, maybe. Who knows? But it's probably worthwhile if you're looking at getting a drone, and it's probably worthwhile having a good look at. And speaking of, if you are thinking about drones, and we talked about Adorama TV before, I did see a link on their page earlier saying, think about buying a drone. Here's a video to watch to teach you what to look for. So that could be something worthwhile.
Oh, nice.
Hop onto Adorama TV and have a look at that. There's some training before you go out and buy with lustful thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
So that's it for me, my friend, this week. I don't have an awful lot.
Excellent.
But, yeah. You do.
Excellent. All right. Well, I hope things in your world pick up and.
There's only one thing I can say about that, my friend.
What's that?
22 days to Myanmar. Please bring it on quickly. Does it have to be so long? Get me out of here. No, I thought hopefully, but Dad, it's unfortunate there's no end date for Dad getting out of hospital, but fingers crossed it'll be before I go away and that'll simplify things a bit. But
sure. Yeah.
Thank you very much, and we'll see how we go.
All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
I will, and you too.
We'll talk
have a chat next week.
Talk to you next week.
All right. Bye, everyone.
ShutterZinkPodcast.com.
AnotherAudioTo.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZinkPodcast.com.